Amen. Wow. Wasn't that great worship this morning? Amen. Yeah, amen. You know, I think about a message today and communication and those kinds of things. You know, when you communicate something, you know, you want your message to be coherent. You want it to be clear. A clear message, a clear instruction, a clear word. And when you communicate to somebody, you know, you're communicating to someone specific. And the message is not only coherent, but there's an aim to it. There is somebody receiving the message. And then you hope that they'll have results from that message or that instruction or sometimes that command. When my dad or my mom asked me to do something or asked us to do something, it was coherent. He didn't stutter. It was coherent. You heard the message. You heard what they were instructing. You heard what they were saying. And you knew they were talking to you. They weren't talking to somebody else. They weren't talking to neighbor's kids. They weren't talking to cousins. They weren't talking to somebody else. They were talking to us. And it always had results. If you listened and did, or if you listened and didn't do it, it had results. Right? Can you relate to that? I hope so. I love sports, and coaches do that too. Coaches have a message, and they need to be coherent with the message, the instruction. And when Coach talked to us, when he spoke to us individually, corporately, it was a coherent word. I mean, there was no doubt. And we knew he was talking to us. He wasn't talking to anybody else, no other students. He wasn't talking to the cheerleaders or the drum corps. He was talking to us. And results took place when you listened and did, or if you listened and didn't do. Coach Parker was telling me something here. Coach Parker is the head coach for Dublin Lions High School. By the way, they're undefeated in district right now. Amen. All right. And he's moving his players through a book called Toughness. Great book on leadership, on toughness. And they on the way to their home game, away games, they read a chapter. And he tells them the message is coherent, right? Read your chapter, right? And it's a message that's going straight to the student. There's not going anybody else up in that bus. And there's certain results if they listen and read it or if they don't. A couple of weeks ago, they were on the road and they were going down to Bangs or somewhere down there, and they weren't reading their chapter. So he stopped. He stopped at County Line. Y'all know what I'm talking about, County Line over there, yeah. And got those kids out and made them run laps. And got back in, and he was driving around. He thought, I think I'm going to have to do this again. Results. Okay. Coherent, specific to the audience. Results. I hope that's what the message is today. It'll be coherent. It'll be to a specific word, to a specific person. Or a group, it'll have results. Listen, whenever Jesus spoke, whenever the word is spoken to give instruction or to give life lessons, it's always coherent. It's always clear. You know, you don't have to miss, if you're a believer in Christ, you don't have to miss what God's asking. In the last few weeks that we've been talking about being yoked to Jesus, the take my yoke upon me, put the passage on the screen if you would. This is a very coherent, specific message that will have results, okay? It'll have results. Yeah, start with 28 if you would, 28. Okay, so look, notice what it says. It says, come to me. Now there's four verbs here that are very, very important, okay? They're in the imperative, okay? Imperative means, listen, just do this, okay? And lots of times the imperative says, do this and do it right now. Or sometimes it says, hey, if you're doing this, stop doing it and quit doing it. Okay, that's the imperative. Now, it's not like just, hold on here, because a lot of us in here, we don't like to be commanded to do anything. So some people say, well, just instruct me, don't command. Okay. So this is an imperative instruction. Okay. Do this and do it now. Come to me. Come to me. That's it. That's coherent as you can get. Come to me. Don't go to somebody else. Come to me first. Don't go to the world. Don't go to some philosophy out there. Don't go to some self-help book or the greatest new thing that your favorite author has going on or speaker or what Fritcher has to say. Come to me. Come to me, all who are. Watch this. Weary and heavy laden. A coherent call to a specific group of people. People that are weary. Have you ever felt weary? Now, we're going to find out that it's not about being just about being weary physically. It's about soul weary. Soul weariness. Soul exhaustion. And so he says, come to me, all who are weary. I mean, you've labored. It's been hard. You're just pushing through it. And you're just weary. And then he says this, heavy laden. Heavy loads that have been placed upon you. And the word in the Greek means that, listen, this is what happens to you. At some point in time, you took a load, and it was heavy. Somebody gave it to you, or you took it, and you put it on, and you are heavy laden over it. Let me ask you a question. I know we're busy. I know that physically we can be really tired and doing all the things we do without sleep or without this or not. And I'm not going to tell you, well, there's a place for that. But I want to talk about your soul today. Your soul. When your soul is weary. When your soul is heavy laden. Now, it's interesting about this this message of that's coherent. It's this thought that says, listen, come to me. Okay? Come to me. And the question that's begged to ask is, who are you coming to today? Who are you going to for relief? Who are you going to find the answer? Who are you going to find the rest that your soul needs today? That your soul needs today. Listen, the Bible says, hey, men, women, 6 days you work, 1 day you rest. Okay? And you know, you're going to work and you're going to be tired. But when you work and you work hard, it is a good tired. Let me tell you, soul tired is not a good tired. Soul exhaustion is not a good exhaustion. When you look at this passage of Scripture and you look at this loaded down, overburdened, that's something that somewhere in the past you've placed it on where your souls are just exhausted. When you look at the text and you look at different places in the Scripture that speak about being yoked, oftentimes it has to do with the law. Yoked or burdened by the do's and the don'ts. Burdened down by those things. Some people think that and agree, we all agree that it could be the Mosaic law and the requirements of that we could never, ever, ever keep. And also the traditions of men, what men say about those laws. And he's writing to a people, Jewish people, who have been under the yoke of that kind of teaching. It's works-based. It's not grace-based. It's works. And so we move to this thought that, man, I've just got to do, I got to do, I got to do, I got to do. Also, commentators speak of the loads of sinfulness found in our thoughts and our attitudes and our words and our deeds that produce shame and guilt and over failure. Let me just tell you something about the salvation of God. It's always going to be contrasted to the legalism that obscures mercy. If there's no mercy in your teaching, in your doctrine, it's legalism. There's always mercy. There's always compassion. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The call is coherent. Come to me. But there's another verb here, and the other next verb is take. Take. It's in another imperative. Take what? My yoke upon me and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. Now, the yoke is a great picture. We've talked about this a couple of times. I want to get the picture up here because the second time that I spoke on this, there were a bunch of college students who didn't know what a yoke was. That's a yoke. Okay? It's not a yellow surrounded by white breakfast meal, okay? And that's no yoke. Hey, you're listening. Hey. Wow, that's no yoke. That's a yoke. And just look at that physical yoke there. I tried to get a yoke this week. I wanted to wear a yoke this week. Couldn't find one. But it's a yoke. It's used in agricultural to put a cow, two cows together. Yeah, there you go. A cow and an oxen, a pair of oxen, to work the field, to plow it. And they're yoked together. When you look at a yoke, go back to the yoke. When you look at the yoke, that's work. That's a burden, but it's also a journey. It also symbolizes that something's going to happen on that farmer's land when that yoke is placed and the plow goes behind it and they begin to break up the fallow ground to plant the seed that'll bring the crop that'll support the farmer and his family. So it's work, but it's also a journey. It's also something that you're going to go together, so that when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, get the yoke off the sinful things of the world, the world's philosophies, the world's teachings of what the world says. Let me tell you something. The world will always, always appeal to your flesh and not to your spirit or your soul. It'll always appeal to the flesh. And we'll get yoked to those things. That's why we've been asking, what are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? When you get yoked to Jesus, Jesus says, hey, my yoke is easy and my load is light. Let me tell you about this word load. I read about this morning. There's two words in the Greek language for the word load. The first one has the connotation that you got a load, but it's a shareable load. Other people can come along and share it. But then there's a load that only you can have. You bear the brunt of it. You bear the responsibility. It's no one else's responsibility to come take that load. It's kind of like a sinful load. It's you. It's the personality. It's your responsibility. And Jesus says, hey, I've got a load that I'm not even asking you to share. It's all mine. It's that word, take my load is light. Matter of fact, when you get yoked to me, you don't have to carry my load. You don't have to carry what burdens the world. My yoke is easy. Now, I read something. I saw it twice this week, okay? And I don't know about it, okay? So this is what I heard. There's a legend. Read in a commentary and heard it from a really great speaker this week. And great theologian. He said there's a legend that in Jesus' work, he, as a carpenter, made yokes. And the legend says, and it's just a legend, I don't know, it's a legend to me, it's like alternative news. You know? Something just alternative. It's like getting on WikiLeaks, Wikipedia, and going, really? But I think I like this. I like this legend. And plus, if two folks that I respect wrote about it. The legend is that the sign on their carpenter shop said, our yokes are easy. They're so smoothed out. They're so great. They don't chaff. They work great on your animal. I like that. Even though it may be something that's not true. Okay, so don't go say, hey, pastor said something to us that's not true. I've already told you, I don't know. It's just a legend. But you know, like we learned last week with Dr. Gregory in the parables, a lot of times the parables were speaking directly to things that were happening in the world. It was right there happening in their community. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden, my load is light. My teaching is light. My power, my expectations, the things of the kingdom of God that I'm going to place upon you, they're easy. And why are they easy? Because he gives you the spirit of his life, the spirit of living God, to walk out even when you're struggling, even when you're hurting, even when you're grieving, even when there's been loss, even when you have failed. And so he says, listen, my yoke is easy. The call, it's coherent. Come to me. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. Learn from me. You know, when you look at, I saw this also. Guy was walking in the field. It was back late, early 1900s. He was watching. He was walking with this farmer. Another farmer was farming, and two animals were yoked together. And there was a very young bull being yoked to a big mature. And they were watching it. And he said, I want you to notice something. Farmer said to the pastor, see the big guy? He's doing all the work. The little guy, he's just learning. He's learning how to be yoked and to stay with the big guy. To stay with the big guy. To go to the places with the big guy's going to. And the big guy is that. Listen, that's what this is like. It's like a journey. We get yoked to Jesus and all that Jesus is. It's gentle. It's light. It's not soul exhaustion. It's not soul exhaustion. Some of you in here, that your souls are exhausted. They're exhausted. It's because you got the wrong yoke on. You're coming to something that you don't need to be coming to. It just means that you're learning from something other than you should be learning from. That's why we always move to the Word of God. That's why we always listen to the Spirit of the living God so that we might be yoked to Him and to walk with Him, because He promises this rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Coherent. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm gentle in heart. I'm humble. I'm humble and gentle in heart. And notice what he says. And you will find rest for your souls. Rest. Coherent message, coherent word to a specific people. And here are the results. Soul rest. God's rest. You know, you walk through life. And if you don't do life right like this, you'll have an exhausted soul, because your soul is already broken when you come into this life. We call it original sin. Your soul. You know, I've been studying it, and there's a lot of debate about body, soul, and spirit. I believe it's all there. I do. But he talks about the soul here. The soul is fallen. The soul is the seat of the emotions. It's the seat of your will. It's the seat of your aversions. It's the seat of everything. It's who you are. It's me, myself, and I. It's me. It's it. Everything that you are. Listen, your soul, your body doesn't have a soul. Your soul has a body. Really important. It's who you are. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. It's you. That's what the soul is. It's you. And you come into this world, you've heard me say this, I'll say it again. You come with a broken soul. One theologian years ago, many, many years ago, said there is a vacuum, and it's God-shaped. It's a hole in the soul. I didn't mean to rhyme there, okay. It's a hole in the soul, and it's God-shaped. It's not drug-shaped. It's not alcohol-shaped. It's not job-shaped. It's not retirement money-shaped. It's not money-shaped. It's not marriage-shaped, it's not relationship-shaped, it's God-shaped. We live in a life, we live in a culture, we live in a world, and let me, it's nothing's new, okay, under the sun, okay? You think that all the things that are going on around is something new. It's not new. It's not new. It's always been around because of the broken soul, the sinful soul. The soul that is separated from the life of God. Unyoked to God, yoked to something else. And we know when we're yoked to something else, other than God, trying to fill the God-shaped soul, the God-shaped hole in the soul, the God-shaped vacuum, we know that it never, ever, ever brings the peace and the rest of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Is that all? We all know what we're talking about. We know that when we respond not Christ-like, not godly to the things of this world or the things that have happened to us or the things that have happened to our friends, what happens is we get yoked to that, and it takes us, like we said, to the places a couple weeks ago that you don't want to go. But you'll go. But you'll go because you're trying to stuff the God-shaped hole in the soul that only God can fill. And that leads to nothing but exhaustion. You've got to be yoked to God. And let me tell you this, you've got to be yoked to the right people. Very, very important. I mean, there's a passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Turn there very quickly. I want to use this just for a few minutes or a few seconds. Well, it'll be minutes if you know me. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 6. See, there's nothing in the world that's going to fill the God-shaped hole in your soul. It's nothing in the world that's going to fill it. Nothing in the world that's going to heal it. Everything else is just a false promise. Everything else. You look at it from your job and your retirement. You look at it from political things that are going on around us. You look at all the things that are taking place. And I want to tell you, it'll never, ever, ever be okay. It'll never, ever be right. There will always be evil. There will always be affliction. There will always be persecution. There will always, always be until Christ comes out back and makes it all right. Until he restores it all. In the meantime, we're going to be yoked to something and we're going to be yoked to others. And so you have this passage in chapter 6, verse 14, I'm going to read it. My translation says, do not be bound together. It's do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't be yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? I want you to see this message. This message right here is coherent. There's no ands, ifs, buts. There's no getting a book somewhere and saying, no, that's not what that means. This is coherent. This is clear. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What, but why? Because what partnership, watch this, have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Do you see? This is not some edged, crooked cut. It's precise. Don't walk with the world. Don't be yoked to where the world wants to take you. This is why it's really, really important when I talk to these folks in here that are single and married. Listen, I say this, and my parents may be listening right now. My mom was a believer at 17, and my dad was an unbeliever at 17 when they got married. They were unequally yoked. So this is really a personal thing as well, but I feel like I need to say to you that if you're not going to walk together with the main thing, the one necessary thing, what makes you think you'll walk together in all the other stuff? You can do that maybe for a season, but it'll only be temporary. Hey, listen, it's hard enough when a believer's yoked to a believer. Amen? Amen back there? Yeah, I'm not pointing to anybody, but it's hard enough being yoked to a believer, a partner who's a believer, a spouse that's a believer. It's hard enough. We're not to walk and be yoked to the world. It just brings exhaustion, soul exhaustion. It doesn't bring soul rest. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over. Now, my dad came to Christ when he was 27. By the witness of my mom. By the testimony of my mom. And that's a whole other story. My dad watched my mom tithe and saw that it worked. He did. My mom saw her raise her children in the way of God. My dad saw, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. Listen, you may be married and you may be unequally yoked, but I want to tell you this right now. You need to stay there. This is not a message about, oh, no. You're to walk. You're to walk with it. Listen, when folks were coming to Christ in the first church and they were married and one became a believer and one didn't, Paul talks about what you do there. You stay. You stay. Very important. What am I saying here today? I'm saying, listen, when you're yoked to something other than God, yoked to something other than what's godly, yoked to something else, I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to find the perfect rest that God wants you to find in your soul. In your soul. Very important. Very important thought for the future. Very important thought for here. When I think about the thought about soul and the things that invade our soul, you know, when you look at the word rest, when Jesus says, I will give you rest for your soul, the word literally is this, cessation. You know what cessation is? It's a big word. It means it ceases. Something ceases. The work ceases. It's like when the Old Testament law said to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and you didn't work on that Sunday, just like most of us don't right now. What happens is you've ceased your labor. That's what rest is. It's you cease it. You cease from all that stuff. It's a great word because it's what we're all looking for. We're looking for rest in the midst of a chaotic world. We're looking for the rest of God in our souls, in our hearts, in our lives. And so when I think about looking at this rest as cessation or an intermission, I see it as a cessation from sin, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the guilt, the unfulfillment, the discontentment, the shame, the sorrow, the grief, the loss, the chaos, the offenses, the moral and social failure, your grumpiness and your malcontentment and your complaint. When you got rest, that ceases. Amen. Turn to your spouse and say, amen. No, you don't have to do that. Just kidding. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying, listen, all this stuff we're running after and all these things that we're worrying about and all these things that we're jumping to conclusions about, they're nothing but just soul. It just that brings nothing but soul exhaustion. And so when God says, you come to me, take my yoke upon me, learn from me, I'll show you how to walk, I'll show you how to respond, I'll show you the attitude, I'll show you what it means to be grateful, I'll show you what it means to be gentle, I'll show you what it means to be humble, I'll show you how to live it, because you're yoked to me. And when you do that, all that other stuff ceases. Can I tell you something? Your pastor, Michael Fritcher Jr., needs this message today. Because of the propensities of my life to worry and to walk in fear. And if I'm restful, it means I'm not worrying. I'm not fearing. I'm not walking in anxiety. I'm at rest. The only way is this coherent message that Christ says, you come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Come to me. First verb, take my yoke. Second verb, take my yoke. Take it right now. Learn from me. We're going to walk together. I'm going to show you how to live. And then what you're going to do is you're going to find rest for your soul. The word find, we learned a little bit about the word find last week in the parable of the pearl of great price and the treasure in the field. It comes from a word, I'm going to say it again, Dr. Gregory showed it, I saw it in this passage of scripture. The base word of this, that this is found, is eureka. If you go to a Greek Bible app and look at it, you'll see it, if you can read it, you read Greek, you'll see eureka. Ancient alchemists found how to purify gold, and when he did, he said, eureka, I found it. The word's really important because it's a word that says that you have found something that you have been seeking. You have made effort to find it. You have made effort. You've given your life to it. You've walked it. You're looking for it. You're seeking for it. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and says, hey, you weary, you heavy laden, you got this soul that's crushed. You got this soul that's burdened. You got this soul that is just really, really, I mean, it's just exhausted. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find a cessation of all that other stuff that you were dealing with when you got in the car this morning. When you got in the car this morning, as opposed to all the stuff that you've been about all this week. Come to me. Eureka! Eureka! I found rest! I found rest for my soul! I found a cessation of all that worry and all that stuff and all that junk and all those things. We're no longer fussing. We're no longer fighting. There's rest in our marriage. There's rest in our family. We're no longer a bundle of nerves wringing our hands asking, what's next? No, we got our hands up saying, God, what's next? There's a difference, amen. What's next? I've got this rest. I'm yoked to Jesus. And it's not a bad yoke because it doesn't chaff. It fits just right. And I'm not bearing his load. That's why it's light. You know, a coherent message to a specific group of people or to an individual. A couple of weeks ago when we first start this series, the message was three questions for a new year. What are you yoked to? Are you finding life? What are you giving your life to? And does anybody remember the third one? I can't think of it right now. How are you warring? Yeah, how will you war? And you know, when I came out, I had four or five of you say, do you have a video at my house? Because what you're preaching on is what I'm struggling with at the house. That's a specific word. It's a specific rhema for you. And what you want to do is you want to identify what it is that's making you weary and heavy laden right now. What's causing the worry, what's causing the stress, what's causing the anger. You want to find out what that source is and what you're yoked to that's causing you to have all those negative feelings and all those negative things that are going on so that you can take that yoke off of you and be yoked to Jesus. Now, I want to do something just real briefly here. It kind of goes with that third question. Thanks for remembering it, Jeanette. How are you going to war? I think that this message on coming to Jesus, taking his yoke upon him, learning from him, finding rest for yourself, has to do with spiritual warfare. Listen, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take away. Listen, he wants to take away from you. And what he wants to do is just get you to a place of soul exhaustion. Some of you may have soul death right now. You've not come to Jesus. It's not been renovated. Your spirit has not been renovated. And you've got this soul that needs to be restored by the blood of Jesus. That's a decision that you must make. Those of us who walk the journey know that it's easy. And next week we'll be talking about this from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. To not subject yourself to a yoke of slavery again. But that's what we want to do. We go along and all of a sudden we find ourselves yoked back to the stuff. And I want to give you just kind of a real strategy this week. I might have done it a couple weeks ago. I might have done it 2 weeks ago. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you again. When the enemy comes and speaks a lie that says something like this, this problem is going to be on you the rest of your life. It's a word from the enemy. This problem, this sin, this marriage is never going to be healed. You're going to struggle the rest of your life financially. It's not going to work out. It's the enemy. And what you want to do, this works for me, okay? It may not work for you, but I hope it does. This is what I say. I say it out loud. I'm not going to be yoked to you. I'm not going to be yoked to this word. I'm not going to be yoked to this unscripted future. There's so many of us that are yoked to the unscripted future that has not happened yet. There's some of you in here that have had a diagnosis that you should have been dead 5 years ago. You're not. It was unscripted. And you got yoked to something else, praise God. Want to get yoked to His Word and to what He says. You say, how do I do that? You got to walk with it. You got to find it in the Word. You got to hear the promptings of the Spirit, and you got to go with it. It's an agreement. It's agreement in your mind. It's agreement of your heart. It's the agreement of your soul and all that's within you. I will not be yoked to that. I will not be yoked to that word. I will not be yoked to that evil word that's just been spoken. I'm not going to be yoked to your offense. You got offended by somebody. You come to talk to me about it, and all of a sudden, I'm going to be yoked to your offense? What's that? That's soul exhaustion. That's what that is. I'm not going to be yoked to guilt. I'm not going to be yoked to false responsibility. I'm not going to be yoked to these words. I'm not going to be yoked to you. Years ago, after just a move of God in my life by which God delivered me from a fear of dying young, a couple of weeks later, I had this bout with this fear. But I said it like this. I'm not going to walk in agreement with you. Same thing. Being yoked to something is else other than and or to God is walking in agreement with that person, place, thing, or whatever is speaking into your ear. What you're learning from them, what that thing's teaching you. Listen, our God never teaches you to walk in fear, worry, anxiety, stress, guilt, shame, fill in the blank. Don't be yoked to that. I'm not going by the power of Jesus, by an act of my will, I will no longer be yoked to you. Just go on and say it to you. I'm not going to be yoked to it. I'm going to be yoked to what God says about me, what God says who I am in Christ, not who I'm not by the enemy, but by who I am. I am in Jesus. I'm going to be yoked to His Word. I'm going to be yoked to heaven, not hell. I'm going to be yoked to the blessing, not the curse. I'm going to be yoked. Listen, it's coherent. It's a coherent word. There's no stuttering about it. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me, and you will find. Listen, whatever God's saying to you right now, maybe He needs to do that right now. Hey, Christine, are you here? Still, will you go to the piano real quick? I just feel like, yeah, would you start playing? I want you to bow with me in here. Bow with me in prayer right now. You're listening to this message, and you know you're yoked to something that you don't need to be yoked to? Identify it right now. What is it? I'm yoked to anger. I'm yoked to fear. I'm yoked to despair. I'm yoked to worry. Fill in the blank. I've been going to the wrong thing for help, for rest. My soul is exhausted. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, you talked about the God-shaped hole. The God-shaped hole is still there. And I want to say this. The God-shaped hole today can be filled with God by giving your life to Him once and for all. To know that you're a sinner, to know that you're separated from God, to know that there's nothing you can do to earn it, to know that Jesus 2,000 years ago died in your place and saved you, as we sang earlier, from the wrath of God. And by faith, you believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He did for me. We're going to have an invitation here in just a second. We don't have this much here at the end. We usually do it at the beginning or the middle. But I'm going to invite you to come to see the God-shaped hole filled with God. Some of you are coming here today and there's fractured relationships that ought not be because of who Jesus is in your life and who you are in Him. I invite you to come. You don't have to take my hand. You can come to the altar. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to just come to the altar and say, God, I've been yoked to this, but no longer. I will no longer be yoked to that. I'm going to be yoked to You. God, my soul's exhausted. I'm trying so hard to live by the law. I'm so by the tradition of men, and I just can't do it. You don't know why you can't do it? Because you can't do it. Jesus has already done that for you. Lord, I'm just burdened down by the sin and by the mistakes and the guilt and all this stuff that comes from it. And I'm yoked to something other than You. And I'm not learning from You. I'm learning from something else. But no more. No more. Today's a new day. It's a new day for my life. It's a new day for our marriage. It's a new day for our family. A new day for every area of my life because of who You are and what You do. And I just ask, Lord, while people are still seated, if this altar would be opened, that we might pray for those who would come forward and kneel on this altar to find freedom from the yoke that they're in bondage to. I pray that kind of result. I pray for a spirit of rest on this body right now. A spirit of rest. I pray, God, that You would take the yoke off even now. Even now. And that, God, they would come to You even now. That they would learn from You even now. And that the yoke would be taken off. That yoke of fear. That yoke of worry. That yoke of anxiety. That yoke of guilt. That yoke of shame. That yoke of regret. All those things, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You'd come and say, be gone to them right now. Yeah. Altar's open. People are coming. Come on. Well, I'm going to stop praying right now. I'm going to keep praying. You come to this altar. You come as a couple. You come as a family. You come and say, enough. Enough. I serve You. I follow You. I will be yoked to You. I'll be yoked to You. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. I'm gentle and I am humble. I'm humble in heart. I'm gentle. I'm not like the rest. I'm gentle and humble. And you will find rest for your souls from soul exhaustion to soul rest, where all that stuff ceases in your mind, ceases in your heart, when it just ceases. And all that flows now is the Word. All that flows now is God. All that flows now is Him, 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 nothing else. I pray that today you would go out of this place saying, "Eureka, I found it. I found it in this season of my life. I found the rest of God." We're going to keep playing. If you need to come forward, you need to talk to me, talk to somebody. I'm just going to be here just a few more minutes. Don't delay. Get it right, right now, right here. We're here to help you. And you don't have to come forward to make it right. That seat can be an altar right now. Right now. Maybe you just need to take the hand of your spouse, the hand of your friend, as just a symbolic move that says, "Let's be yoked to God. Let's be yoked to Jesus." Do that right now. Do that right now. Amen. Let's be yoked to Him. Let's quit being yoked to that. Let's be yoked to Him. I thank you, Father, for a coherent word from you. Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. I thank you, Father, for a call that is very specific. Specific, Lord, to every one of us in this room, some form, in some fashion. Some of us are weary and heavy laden. Our souls are exhausted. But I thank you for the certain results. Church, come to Him by faith. Come to Him believing, fixing your eyes, fixing your heart, fixing your ears on Him. Maybe it's just a simple thought that says, or a simple word that says, "God, speak, I'm listening. Speak to me, Lord. Show me. Speak to my heart." Thank you, Father. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We praise you. Your holy name. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.